Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember as a kid, my pastor wanted us to know what we as Lutherans believe in relation to what's given to us in Christ. And growing up, the churches we went to did Ash Wednesday with ashes like this. I know within our synod sometimes there's a smidge of debate out there, but I never understood the dislike of it because the reasonings people gave was not what was explained to me. And my pastor growing up explained this. He said, one, it is a reminder of our baptism, that there the Lord has marked us on our foreheads and upon our hearts when we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Second, it is ashes, it is dust that comes from the palm branches from the previous year. And now, granted, being a pastor, I realize the ashes from several previous years ago take a lot longer to get through, and that's okay. But they're from a previous year, and those ashes are to remind us as we receive in that blessing that doesn't sound like a blessing. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. And in that blessing, the words are very heavy law. But what's placed upon your forehead is a cross made in those ashes. Because our flesh, which is dust, God himself came and Jesus Christ and there bore that flesh. And where we were sinners, he bore our sins and died on the cross. And there rose from the grave, giving you forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal. And third, he said, it is to remind us that the reason we are dust and to dust we shall return is because we are sinful. And God calls us to repentance. And we see this last one in our reading from the prophet Joel, as God is talking to the people of Israel, or as he calls them, the people of Zion. Here when he says, sound the trumpet from Zion. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and your garment, rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Consecrate the congregations, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? You see, no matter what generation it is, whether it's Adam and Eve's beginning of the generations, to the people in the generation at Joel's time, or our generations here in the United States and the world now, people are sinners. And here what we see are very specific things given to the people at those times. But what is the point of all of that? The calling of those congregations, the elders, the children in this way for fasting and all of that given for their laws from God at that time for sacrifices. Well, he wanted them to repent, to turn from sin. Even David, in Psalm 51, those ever familiar words of this psalm titled, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," to the choir master, Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. David knew that he had done wrong. He had been confronted with the truth and how he broke the law of God. And God called him to repentance. And here is his prayer in response. This psalm that is ever familiar to us because we use some of the words in our offertory for Divine Service Setting 3. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. God calls his people to repentance. And in our sin, we'd close our ears, ever like a child going la 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 la, or like the blah 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 the teacher on Snoopy. We'd rather dole out the sound of the law and what God has called us to do in our sin. But you see, the Lord still calls to you because he has chosen you and he has united you to his Son. And that's where 2 Corinthians and the gospel lesson for today come in. St. Paul reminds us of what it is to live repentantly, just as we heard from David, as he recognizes his need and he's afraid to come before God, but he knows he needs to and ask for forgiveness. And so there it is, as we remember today, not our work, not that these ashes, though mine are probably gone at this point, make us any better than anybody else out there. These are here to remind us not of something we've done, but rather what Christ has done. And St. Paul tells us exactly that. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. It's God working through us, not us through him. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Then he goes on to talk about what it is to work together as those forgiven by God, and what it is that God brings salvation. And here it is that salvation is yours, because it is Christ Jesus, who was not sinful at all, and he made himself to be sin by bearing your sin on the cross, taking the sin upon himself at his baptism and carrying it to the cross, that there you would become more like him as he washes you in the waters of baptism, as he gives you his body and blood at the altar of the foretaste of the feast to come, that you receive what is promised, forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal, because sin, death, and Satan's tyranny are no more. For Christ is victor, and he has won the victory for you. That's why these ashes are done. That's why they're placed on your forehead in the shape of a cross. There are some people who take pictures after they go to church, and they just get like a big thumbprint or a line or some circle of a smudge or something. But we as Lutherans, and as it was passed down by some other church denominations before us and other people who practiced it in the early church and it made its way, someone said through Ireland or something, because going back to the Old Testament, the sprinkling of ashes upon one's head was a sign of repentance. And this is one of the reasons the ashes on our head is to point us to what this season of penitential nature of repentance is supposed to be. That there we would remember that we should turn from our sin. And that's why it's a solemn season. It's why we don't say the Alleluias, even if Pastor forgets for a second. And there it is, that we come before God, knowing our sin, that he would walk with us throughout these 40 days, as our hymn said. For he prayed and kept the fast, and that we ask him to inspire repentance for our sin and free us from our past, that is, from death and sin and temptation and Satan's tyranny. And there he works in his Spirit given to you to make you more righteous, that you would have the righteousness of God, and that you would be reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. And Christ in the gospel lesson reminds us that salvation is not by our own doing, but rather his. Our righteousness isn't something we bring about, but something he does. And that's why he goes on to say, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, when we do the good works God gives us, it's not for us to boast. These crosses on our head are not there to be boasting. Like, look at how cool I am. Look at this cross. No, it's not for that. But rather to remind us of what Christ has done and what he's doing in working through us. And that there he brings forgiveness to you. In Matthew 6, it goes on where he gives us the Lord's Prayer. He talks about fasting. And there he tells us what it is to lay up treasures in heaven. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's easy in this life to get distracted by any number of things, from the money in our bank account to the stuff in our house to the things we have, the things we do, the time we have, the things we think are ours by our own accord are really blessings from God. And so where does the treasure lie? And from which do we receive all this earthly blessing? But from God himself. For everything in this world is God's, for he created this world, and there everything that's made in this world comes from what God has given. And so, yes, there are things in this life that you have, but they aren't the true treasure. They aren't what is built up. Don't trust in the things of this life, but trust in the one who has called you his, who has marked you upon your heart and upon your head as one redeemed by Christ crucified. This is the one who will be with you this season of Lent. He is the one who's been with you all your life. He has known you before you were born, and he has washed you in the waters of baptism. And there he gives you a treasure that is greater than any gold that this life will see. He's given you himself in the flesh to bear your sins and die for you. And he bore the dust of our flesh to walk with us. And he walks with you each and every day. And there this life will come to its end. And from dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But there it is, as Christ rose from the death that he received upon the cross, He promises to raise you from death to life everlasting. Be with us through this season, Lord, and all our earthly days, that when the final Easter dawns, we join in heaven's praise. This is the prayer we pray each and every day. We take a breath and we remember our baptism, that there one day God has promised that on that day when Christ returns, that final Easter dawns, you shall join him in his heavenly kingdom there before his throne, and you'll sing with all the company the praises to your God who lives. And there, united with him, you shall live too. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.